Get the visual, you guys, of Jason during New Year's. Him in a top hat. Him drunk. Yeah. Him with like 5 cigarettes sticking out of his mouth. That is what MTV's trying to sell us of romance, okay?
Hello and welcome to another episode of Millennial TV. We are your hosts, Candace, Liz, and Adrian, and today we are going to be recapping The Hills Season 1, Episode 7, Someone Always Has to Cry. Before we get into it, I just want to remind you guys to please give us a follow on YouTube and Instagram for special extras, videos, and content. We seriously have so much fun on Instagram every week with polls and getting suggestions from you guys, so if you want a fun time, check us out at Millennial TEAV. And on YouTube, we are Millennial TV Podcast. Before we get into the episode, let's talk about this week's pop culture news. So this week for pop culture, there have been so many good documentaries coming out. If you are a true crime fan like me, there's so many out there right now. The Gabby Petito documentary just came out on Netflix, and the Ruby Frankie documentary came out on Hulu, which is what I'm going to talk about. If you don't know, Ruby Frankie was a family vlogger on YouTube. Her YouTube was 8 passengers, and it was just the journey of her and her kids and her husband. Very classic kind of Mormon type of thing that was going on back in the 2000s. Everything crashed and burned really recently, and basically it was discovered that the 2 youngest of her children were being held in like this fortress-like house, being tortured pretty much daily because she believed that they were possessed by demons. And it was all basically came to a head. The cops were called. The youngest boy actually escaped. And he didn't escape to get help, which is the craziest part. He escaped to go to jail because he thought that that would be better than the situation he was in. He was asking the neighbors to take him to the nearest jail because he would rather be in jail, which is the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life. But if you're super interested on the details, I suggest watching this documentary. It is super informational. I do deep dives on this kind of stuff, so I have been like on the Reddit and on different vlogs and TikToks and all kinds of things looking up stuff on this case. It's like the most interesting thing to me because specifically this documentary is the first one where the father and the 2 oldest children actually speak.
The father is in it too?
The father. Wow.
So he's not actually like in it? I mean like abusing the kids?
No, he was actually kicked out of the house for the last year before anything was caught and found. Ruby and her business partner, Jody, who also moonlights as a therapist, had convinced him that he was bad for the family and that in order to keep his family and his marriage, he needed to leave the family home. So he had not had any contact with his children or his wife for a year.
Wow.
And the day that Ruby called him, he thought that it was supposed to be like an, oh my gosh, she's calling me back to be in love with me again. Mm-hmm. And actually she was like, her exact words were, I have some explaining to do. You need to go pick up our children from the police station.
Oh my gosh.
what a phone call.
Yeah. So they talk about all of this in the documentary. It is so interesting, you guys, to see what he has to say, because obviously a lot of people are blaming him. Like, how do you not see your kids for a year? How do you not know what's going on? That kind of thing. So, I mean, it's super interesting.
That is my immediate thought. Like, yeah, that's why I say that.
What was he doing?
Like, even if you didn't see them, maybe you like sent something weird, or like maybe your kids would have like reached out to you if you like gave them that space. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's certainly weird. I do think that he was a little bit brainwashed. Jody Hildebrandt is her name. And she was this kind of really intense therapist that would just basically segregate the men from the family. And she would try to like instigate herself. Again, I suggest watching the documentary because it's very deep. And Jody Hildebrandt was also claiming she was possessed by demons, and Ruby was like sleeping in bed with her at times. Hulu does a great job of just collecting information and kind of spitting it at you, and then you can like connect the dots. But it is speculated that they had a sexual relationship, Jody and Ruby, and that was part of the reason why the dad was kind of ousted. But, you know, nothing is final until Ruby or Jody admit it. So it's very interesting, though. And the lengths that she went to get Ruby to believe that her kids were possessed and that the best way to help those children was to basically abuse them. She would starve them. She made them work in the hot sun. She would kick them with boots on. Actually had a cactus poker at one point and was poking the youngest. They would put handcuffs on them, and when their wrist would start to bleed, they would put a homemade remedy on them that was like, it looked like hot sauce from what the documentary showed. And then they would put duct tape over it.
Oh my gosh.
And these kids were emaciated when they were found, so they were not getting fed or water. There's journals that she wrote in that basically chronicalize all of the abuse. So she wrote it all down, so there's really no getting out of it. But she literally would write, I won't say the youngest kids' names because they're trying to keep them under wraps, but they call them R and E. But it would be like, R and E tried to steal water today while brushing their teeth because they like weren't getting water.
But how stupid is she for writing all of this down?
I know.
Somewhere?
That's what I said. She wrote everything down. There's no getting out of it. Like, you have, you know, so not that I wanted her to, but craziness. It is a very good documentary. I suggest watching it. But I don't know. Have you guys done much deep diving into this case?
I did a little bit, and I had never heard of her YouTube channel until like all of that happened. So I'm gathering that like the abuse didn't really start until her channel like took off, right? Because then she was like making the kids like perform for YouTube. And if they didn't do it, they were like punished, right?
Okay. So the oldest daughter, Sherry, said she actually wrote a book and I listened to it on audio. It's also very good. It's called The House of My Mother, if anybody is interested. But she wrote a book, and basically in that book, she said her mom was always very physical, like in terms of like if they did something wrong, they'd get like a slap on the mouth or like a, you know, a slap. But it wasn't like
to the extreme abuse. Level.
It was just kind of It was just kind of like how she handled things. But she said once the she said it was fine when they started YouTube, that was fine. But then when the money started coming in and the sponsors started coming in, it was like, you better perform type of thing. So, you know, we actually see a lot of unedited footage in the documentary of like outtakes, basically, of stuff that she wouldn't put in the video. So there's like a video of her talking to the oldest son and she's like, you need to fake it for the camera. Act happy. And he's like, I don't think I can right now. And she's just like, well, you're going to have to figure it out. Like, these are things that we actually see, which is kind of the craziest part, is that we see all of these outtakes and how crazy she really was about getting content.
Yeah, that's so sad.
That is crazy. I mean, I've only heard of it when I was like, I love watching those tea spill channels on YouTube where they talked about different YouTubers. So like this definitely came up when that all that happened. But we don't have Hulu in Canada, so that sucks. But I'm sure I can find a way to stream it somehow.
Oh, yeah.
So I will definitely not be doing that.
Yeah. Like I said, like if you love true crime and you love to like deep dive into stuff, it's just very good and interesting to see like what all went down and what happened, and hearing it from the people who were closest to her, even if it's not the actual kids that were being tortured, it's just really interesting to see what their take is. And you know, the oldest daughter is, you could tell she's very like, she calls her Ruby, she doesn't call her mom, and she doesn't call her dad either, she calls him Kevin. So I think she also has some resentment there because she had been calling CPS for her little siblings for like 2 years prior to this, because she was worried about them and she wasn't getting any help. And so I think she's a little resentful about that. But the oldest son does still refer to her as mom and him as dad. So I think there's a little bit of a difference there in like, you know, some kids are going to resent them more than others.
Yeah.
And I think that the oldest son does say like, his opinion, he also got kicked out of the family home early on at 17, mind you, as a minor. And he said that he fully believed in his mother and Jody and thought that they were kicking him out to help him and that they were of God. And he fully believed that until he read in the papers that his mom was in jail for child abuse.
Wow.
Interesting.
You know what's interesting about the demon thing is that, do you guys remember, I mean, it's still like an ongoing case, but the Lori and Chad Vallow, Daybell, how that was the same thing, is that she said that her kids had demons inside of them and that's why she killed them. It's like, what is up with that? Like, and they were also Mormon.
It's such a common like thing in religion, possession, I feel like.
Yeah.
Or having a spirit on you or in you. And I think it's really dangerous. Mm-hmm. Just because it can be related to anything. Like, even if your kid is acting out for a completely different reason,
right?
Now it's demon possession.
And, you know, and look, like, people use it to manipulate others into doing, like, what they want and stuff like that. So it is such a, like, I don't know if you have to grow up in that environment for this to for you to be susceptible to that kind of brainwashing. Mm-hmm. But it is scary that mm-hmm. some people are going to use that to make you do such extreme things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there was somebody on TikTok who recently just came out and said that they were in a cell, like a multi-cell with Ruby Frankie in jail, and that the prisoners are not allowing her to sleep. They will wake her up and say, like, why do you think you get sleep when you wouldn't let your kids sleep? Or why do you think you get food when you wouldn't let your kids get food? Yeah, which That's I'm awesome. Like, cosmic karma. I love jail karma.
Yes. Like,
but yeah, it's just so crazy. And I honestly hope that the kids, like, heal and move on and can move on. I know the two youngest are... they're trying their hardest not to have them be involved in social media in any way. Even their names, like, they don't say them anymore, mm-hmm. which is nice for them. They're giving them the privacy that they were robbed of, right, for being mm-hmm. forced to be yeah. on YouTube. And the oldest, Sherry, shared that she had just gotten engaged, but that she won't be sharing anything about her future family or her wedding or anything like that because she just wants to reclaim her privacy, which is totally normal. So I think after this documentary, they're all probably like, okay, we've told you, like, mm-hmm. we're done now, which will be nice for them. So I hope that they can move on from it. But I truly hope the worst for Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt, truly in my soul. So, yes. But if you guys have watched the documentary, or if you are interested in true crime or have any other crazy stories that you're watching or listening to, let us know on Instagram, or let us know your feelings about the Ruby Frankie, Jody Hildebrandt scandal. And yeah, we love hearing from you guys. So now let's get into the episode. So on the previously on, Lauren tells us that she and Jason made up after the fight on his birthday, and now things are going great. She says she and Whitney pulled off their first fashion show, and Jordan and Heidi celebrated their 6-month anniversary. But of course, that didn't go as planned. With the holiday break from work and school, they were all going to have a chance to hang out together, and she was hoping for a drama-free New Year's kiss.
Bum, bum, bum.
Foreshadowing. sorry, Lauren, it's not quite drama-free.
Not at all.
So the first scene is Lauren and Jordan, and they're shopping at XIV Carrots LTD, which I think means limited.
Yes.
For dog tags for Jason.
Diamond encrusted yes. dog tags. Yes.
Black diamond.
Black diamond encrusted. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So this whole scene was weird, and I feel like the lady at the counter was so odd, but
she so wanted to be on TV. Like, she was so happy to be there.
I was just like, this is very, like, it's giving very weird. But the lady at the counter tells them that they can do tiny little baby ones or huge ghetto ones. And I'm assuming that means the actual size of the dog tag.
See, I heard her say, like, ghetto fabulous.
Oh.
So
I didn't hear that.
Just wait, and I gotta ask, leave this in or cut this out, but is that offensive when someone says ghetto fabulous?
Okay, I don't find it offensive, but I think there are people in the world that would find it offensive.
Mm-hmm.
The word ghetto in general, I think, is kind of offensive just because it has a lot of connotation attached to it.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody uses it, though. So I still hear it now. So I don't know. I was just kind of like, that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Ghetto fabulous. I don't know if that's as bad as ghetto. I don't know.
I feel like people don't use ghetto fabulous, like, in a derogatory way, which is maybe why we don't think that it comes off offensive.
Yeah.
I feel like they, like, say it in a way that's like, oh, you dress, like, very over the top, or, like, very, like, mm-hmm. you know, flashy kind of thing. But I'm just asking because I remember seeing that once so many years ago, and this guy was like, watch what you say. And then I was like, scared ever since. And this was at work. Oh my God, I'm getting red just and hot just thinking about it. But I feel like that's happened to me so many times over the years, and not because I'm saying things like maliciously. Yeah, it's just like just things because, you say, right? Mm-hmm. Like that you hear we in like pop culture, news, whatever. And mm-hmm. people will be like, why did you say that? And so now whenever I want to say something, I'm like, I'm so in my head all the time.
I have to tell this story then because it's very similar. Yeah. My ex-boyfriend, okay, I'm a black woman. He was a white man and he worked at Starbucks and he was just, okay, he tried to like have a connection. He was very like into being a Starbucks barista. It was like, he loved it. Okay. So every customer that came in, he like tried to make like a genuine connection with. A girl came in and she was black and he said, hey girl, hey to her when she walked in, like, hey girl, hey. And she got really offended and was like, do you talk to all your customers like that or just me? And he was like, oh my gosh. He was like, I talk to everyone like that. And he genuinely did. Like, it wasn't like he wasn't trying to be weird. And of mm-hmm. course, she kind of like ripped into him a little bit. And he was like so nervous. And like, he's such a nice guy. Like, he was so nervous and like stumbling over his words. And all he could think to say was, my girlfriend is black. I have nothing against, like, and of course, that's goodness. Like the one thing you don't yeah. say.
I know.
And it makes it even worse.
He's like telling me the story. And I'm like, oh God, honey, like, don't. You just made it so much worse. And he's like, I know. And he's like, it was the only thing I could think of at the time.
He's like, I heard it come out of my mouth yes, and I died.
He's like, I wanted to stop myself and I couldn't. And I felt so bad for him. But yeah, she like filed a complaint and it was like a whole
no,
thing.
Oh my God.
I know. Yeah. She was super offended. And I swear on everything, like, I'm not leaving out any part of the story. He genuinely did not do anything else. Like, he literally just said, hey girl, hey to her.
Oh my gosh.
Which wow. I so yeah. believe. Cause like, yeah, like that's something I feel like I would do too and not think yeah. anything mm-hmm. about it. Cause it's just like something you hear in yeah. media and oh my God.
Yeah.
See, it makes me so scared to like talk sometimes because I'm like, I don't know who I'm offending.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it happens to people all the time. I feel like you just say things and then you don't like realize it. And you don't yeah. like some things are more offensive to other people.
Yeah.
But it makes me feel so bad.
I know.
Even if
I'm
offending like a small
I know, anybody.
Set mm-hmm. of people.
But it's so hard to like know with like media telling you one thing and then like, mm-hmm. you know, like it's just, it's hard. It's so hard. So they spot black diamonds and Jordan says, that looks so cool. And the counter lady asks if Lauren wants an engraving on the back. And Jordan says that Lauren should get her name engraved on Jason's. But Lauren says that that's dorky. And the counter lady then suggests that she put property of or if lost, return to. Oh,
so corny.
So tacky.
Very tacky, yeah.
But honestly, like, not at Lauren's age, but in high school, I would have been like, that's so cute. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Like, property of. So cute. So Lauren is like, well, that's funny because then if you break up, they can't wear them anymore. And I'm like, oh.
Ooh.
Also, subtle foreshadowing.
Did you guys think that dog tags were cute on guys?
No. I always thought they were lame.
I think this is a weird gift, honestly. I don't get it.
It's so Jason, though. Like, it's so something that
he
would buy.
It is so Jason, yeah.
And I wonder how much she spent on that, like, real black diamonds.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Like,
right after she got him those expensive golf clubs, too.
Yeah,
and I wonder
right.
what yeah. what he did with them, like, after they broke up. Did he still wear them?
Of course. Don't you guys wear, like, nice, fancy gifts that your exes gave you?
No.
Yeah, take it back. I've never gotten one.
So. And I actually got like a decent amount. I have a Tiffany's bracelet from an ex, and I know I can't wear it because
I know
feel
that's
weird.
True. That's
it's
like
weird.
Sentimental.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
weird, and it's like an infinity bracelet too. So like, I can't.
Should like, sell that stuff, Candace.
I know. I really should sell it. Well, I was like, that was back when I was like, a little blue box is the perfect gift. You know, like. Now I could care less, but I was very happy with my little blue box on Christmas. So the next scene is Heidi, Jordan, Lauren, and Jason, and they're buying a Christmas tree. And we see them picking out a Christmas tree at the Christmas tree lot. And Lauren is super excited. And she says, now we get to go home and decorate it. And then we hear Jason say, it's the first tree you get to decorate by yourself. And Lauren confirms that, yes, because her mom doesn't let them decorate their Christmas tree. Which is so, like,
funny.
It's so sad.
Yeah. I know. It's a rich person
thing. That's so bad.
It's a rich person thing. Like,
it has to look a certain way and all that. But I was just like, oh, man, that's, like, always a family activity for us.
Yeah. But I'm like, she's so excited to decorate a tree. That's so sad. Yeah. I'm like, meanwhile, that's, like, the last thing I want to spend my time doing. And she sings a little la 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 la. She's like super excited about Christmas, and this made me nostalgic for Christmas, even though I kind of hate Christmas. So
yeah, you're the one that doesn't like
I know.
Christmas.
I'm the Grinch, and I was like, oh, Christmas time. So then we see Jason and Jordan carrying the tree past the pole at the villas to get it up to the apartment. And then we see everyone decorating, and Heidi says that at her family Christmas, someone always has to cry. And Lauren says that no one cries at her Christmases. And then Jordan asks Heidi who cries at her Christmas. And Heidi says, I always cry at my Christmas because I never get the present I want. And Holly always gets all the attention. And then we start fighting.
Is anyone surprised at this?
No.
No.
No. No, but I never get the present I want.
And she says it in a way that's just like, you guys are weird. Like,
I know.
Yeah. To be lying. Like, everyone cries at Christmas.
I loved this scene, though, because it's very, like, they all know Heidi, and they're all just, like, laughing, and, like, like, I don't know, like, they're just, like, laughing at her, but it's, like, a nice laugh. Like, they're not, like, making fun of her. They're just like, what the hell, Heidi? Like, you know? I just, it was a very nice, like, their friendship is at its peak right now, and it's, like, really nice to see. But they're all laughing at her, and Heidi's like, come on, tell me someone cries at your Christmases, and they're all like, no. Like, no one cries at her Christmas. And then Jordan says, they cry at the joy of the gift they got. And Heidi's like, liars. Do people cry at your Christmases? Do you have dramatic Christmases?
No, not at all.
No, never.
Mm-mm. I don't think I've ever cried on Christmas. I actually cry every year on or near my birthday for some, like, unrelated reason usually, but... And it happens every year, and I'm like, here it goes, because it's close to my birthday. Mm-hmm. But I never on Christmas.
No, not even when I don't get, like, the gift or whatever that I want, like, nothing.
No.
Yeah, no.
Same.
I mean, my parents were always really good about, like, getting me stuff that I wanted. They just asked me for what I wanted, and then they got it. So it wasn't
That's
like,
mine were too.
Yeah, it wasn't like I was like, I really wanted this thing, and I got this instead. Like, it was never really that big of a deal, so.
Same. And my mom was always really good. Even if I'm like, oh, I don't want anything, she'll get like cute pajamas or like stocking stuffers or just like a lipstick or something. So I always felt like good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
But I'm not a great gift giver. I'll say that. So
well,
I should have done better.
I feel like with Heidi, it was probably like she wanted something crazy, like astronomically out of budget, and then was mad that she didn't get it.
I feel like as a kid, she would ask for a pony.
Yeah. She'd be like, I want to go to Disneyland twice. And they'd be like, okay, well.
We can go once.
Yeah. Like,
it's not enough.
Well, Holly got to go twice. You know.
Or I can totally see her and Holly asking for like juicy sweatsuits. And then Holly getting like the shade of pink that she wanted, you know.
Totally.
And then her Christmas was ruined.
Yeah. Absolutely. Totally. So then we're at Doughboy's Bakery with Lauren and Heidi. And Heidi says that in LA, no one thinks it's Christmas. And Lauren says that she just hopes Jason likes his present. And Lauren looks extra cute here. She's wearing like a short jean miniskirt, just a plain t-shirt. And her hair is like super silky and straight. And she's got the big black headband again. And she's wearing flip-flops. And I just think she's adorbs in this scene. And it's really funny that it's Christmas time and she's in a mini jean skirt and flip-flops.
No Ugg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's graduated from Uggs. So Heidi says he's going to love it and that Jordan is really jealous of the dog tags. And Heidi asks Lauren what she wants. And she says probably some stuff for the apartment, which is the most adult thing you could possibly say. I'm like, a crock pot, a vacuum cleaner, like, you know, like something that is practical that you're going to use every day. So me.
Totally. Actually, last Christmas, I think I asked for an ergonomic chair,
ooh,
which I love. I mean, I use it every day. So
I know. It. And I love that your main complaint about the closet was that they don't even have like ergonomic chairs. Yeah.
It matters.
Yeah. The Teen Vogue closet's biggest issue is not
They're
having their ergonomic
sit on stools,
chairs.
You guys, back to stools.
So bad for your back, honestly. So Heidi says, you know you're growing up when you want stuff for your apartment instead of toys and clothes. I'm not there yet. And Lauren says that she's always wanted a Chanel bag and that that would just be a Merry Christmas. And same, girl, same.
I know.
I too have always wanted a Chanel bag.
Why don't we just put it out there?
Come I know. Yeah. I do love Chanel to death. And this Chanel bag was like my dream Chanel bag and that Lauren ends up getting. And I mean, I can't believe her boyfriend bought her that.
Her 19-year-old boyfriend bought her this.
Mm-hmm. And I checked this last night because I was very curious as to how much they actually cost, because I remember looking it up in high school and they were like $2,000. Well, now Chanel bags, a small one, is $6,000.
It's crazy.
So
so how much would the big one be, do you think? Like the size that she got? Like 10,000?
Probably.
That's insane.
And I'm like, it's just listed as $6,000 on the website. Like, no biggie. Mm-hmm. No biggie.
Yeah, just going
to
drop
just
that.
Just go ahead and buy it. Like, ship it to my house. Like, that's insane.
See, if you think about it, and we could convince ourselves to believe that, if we were to buy it today and treat one really, really well and, like, only take it out for, like, good, like, you know, special events, like birthdays, oh, no. Christmases, mm-hmm. whatever.
If I'm buying a Chanel bag, I'm wearing it everywhere.
No. But if you keep it in pristine condition, yeah. we could sell it for double in 10 years. So it's an investment, guys. Like, buy your friends, your family, your wives, whatever.
The $6,000 Chanel bag.
It is going to make you money in 10 years.
So Lauren asks Heidi what realistically she would want. And Heidi says, a poopy. She really wants a puppy, and she says she got her hopes up so bad that Jordan was going to get her one. And Lauren says, yeah, but that's not a good big gift. And Heidi says, that's what she really wants. And Lauren asks Heidi what her favorite Christmas present ever was, and Heidi says, the one I'm gonna get. Which made me wonder if this scene was filmed after she already got the puppy and after Lauren already got the bag, because
I wouldn't be surprised.
Probably.
Because yeah. it was really pointed about the presents that they wanted, and also, like, she says, the one I'm gonna get, which, like, seems like an inside joke.
Or she's just talking up, like, he better get that for me.
Yeah.
You know? Heidi's so good at playing up this, like, bratty, like, you know, I always get what I want, like, I'm a princess kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in this scene, it comes off, like, really cute in this episode, so.
It does.
Yeah.
I wasn't really annoyed by her this episode.
Yeah.
At all. I thought she was sweet.
No, I wasn't either.
Yeah.
It's because she didn't have to work at all. That's why.
Yeah. So then we see the whole gang at the Grove walking around during Christmas time. And it looks super fun, actually. And now I want to go to the Grove during Christmas.
So me and Kyle were just there. We went when we were in LA.
Oh!
Yeah. It's so nice. It's actually, like, when we lived there, we would go there a lot just to, like, walk around because it's, like, an outside mall. But it was funny seeing it on the show because a lot of the stores are actually, like, the same, which is surprising. There are just, like, the little, like, boutique stores yeah. that have changed over the years, you know? But my favorite thing there is that they have a three-story Barnes & Noble. Like, it is gigantic.
Whoa, I
three
go.
Stories, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And they always do, like, book signings there and stuff. But,
how cool.
They have a movie theater there, and so we would just go there a lot to, you know,
hang out.
When we couldn't afford anything in LA, we'd go there and just walk around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be in the three-story Barnes & Noble, like, every day.
It's so nice. Yeah.
I go to my Barnes & Noble. That's one story every day. So you can imagine me at a three-story one. I love books. I do. It's an obsession. It's really bad.
When I went to the Grove a few years ago, I bought one thing there. And Uncommon James had a little stand there. So that's, like, Kristen's jewelry brand. And I bought a little necklace that I still, like, wear today. But, like, I definitely thought about Lauren and the gang at the Grove. Mm-hmm. In this
Did you?
Because, like, it's so LA. And, like, yeah. I feel like so yes. many things are filmed here. But, like, that's the one that sticks out of my head.
Yeah.
Yep.
So everybody is taking in the sights and cuddling and being super lovey-dovey. And Jordan and Heidi ask Lauren and Jason if they've been naughty or nice. And Jason and Lauren completely ignore them to make out. And fake snow starts falling and they all get really excited about the fake snow, which made me laugh because it's snowing here right now. And it's real and it's awful.
In Southern California, we call it snope because it's just, it's soap.
Oh. But they,
yeah, it's soap bubbles. They do it everywhere here. They do it even at like school events and stuff like that.
That's funny.
Yeah, nope. It's fun.
So it's actual soap.
Mm-hmm. It's just like soap bubbles that fall and disintegrate on your head.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. I'd rather that come out of the sky than actual ice.
Yeah. I don't mind it.
No, two nights ago, I was at my friend's house and we're hearing like this little like ch-ch-ch against the window. And I look outside and it's literally like ice against the window. And I'm like, cool. Love it. Gotta love winter.
It is like snowing here, like we have a snowstorm, so it's like totally white outside, but it's been freezing the past few days. Like it's so cold.
Yeah, you Canadians are gnarly.
Well, and Vancouver doesn't even get like the cold. We're not cold, we're like the warm part of Canada. So
yeah, I don't know what I'm complaining about. Pennsylvania is not as bad as Canada.
I was gonna say though, in the scene, like the two couples are so different because like Jason and Lauren are so serious compared to Jordan and Heidi, who are like jumping and bubbly and so carefree. Yeah. And Heidi again is just so cute. She is like,
she's funky.
Yeah. And she's just like fun as a 19-year-old. Like, I love Heidi like this.
She's just living her life, you know? Mm. She's just like, she's always happy. You barely ever see her like depressed. She's just very like, yeah, let's go do that. That sounds fun. Like, let's do fun things. Like, and sometimes you need a friend like that in your life that's just like ready to have a good time.
Yes.
So after the snow, we hear Lauren say, let's go home and open presents. And so we go back to the villas and Jason opens up his dog tags and he immediately is like, no way. And he's so excited. And Lauren tells him that she designed them and made them herself. And she's very proud of herself. And Heidi gives Jordan his present and Jason says that Jordan's going to love it. And he opens it and reveals a silver chain link bracelet that is so lackluster. He's so excited about it. And he's like, I only told you today about this. And Heidi's like, yeah, but I already knew. And I thought that was cute that she already knew what he wanted. And then Lauren asks Heidi if she knows what they're getting Jordan. And she responds, you're not getting him a tattoo. And Lauren and Jason say that they are indeed getting him a tattoo and that Jason is going to get one with him. And Heidi says, honor bright, you're getting a tattoo. Honor bright, Jordan. And I had to look that up because I had no idea what she was saying at first. And then the subtitles kept saying honor bright. And I was like, I'm looking that up because that has to mean something. And apparently it means upon my honor, really and truly. So she's like, swear, basically.
Is like a military thing or what?
I have no idea.
At first I was like, is that what he's getting tattooed? Like I did not understand what she was saying.
I rewinded it like three times to make sure that's what she was saying.
That is so weird.
But yeah. Huh. And he says, okay, which maybe he comes from a military family or that's like a,
maybe,
you know, or something. I don't know. But I've never heard anybody say that. Honor bright. And Heidi's like, Jordan Patrick Eubanks, how dare you? Which I thought was really cute. The way she says his whole name was like so adorable. Cause you know, like girls do that. Like, you know what I mean? When you're like trying to scold your boyfriend for doing something stupid. Definitely a thing. So then Jordan gives Heidi her gift, which is a little stuffed chihuahua. And Heidi exclaims, I got a dog. And she's clearly a little disappointed. And she kind of says, I thought you were going to get me a real dog. And he's like, babe. And then Lauren tells Heidi, after Christmas. And Jason gives Lauren her present and says, you can return this if you don't like it. And she squeals as she reveals the perfect black Chanel bag that she's been wanting, that she's been wearing for the last four episodes.
I know.
And she looks at Jason with a little pout, like she's going to cry. And then she hugs and kisses him. And Jason tells her if that's not the one she wants, he'll get her another one. And of course, she's like, I love it. It's perfect because it's like the Chanel bag. And then Heidi's like, is Christmas over? And Jordan says, it is indeed. Is everyone satisfied? And then he steps away. And then he brings another present inside. And this one is obvious, has holes in the box. And Heidi opens it and pulls out a little puppy dog.
Aww.
And it's so sweet. And immediately she starts crying, which would be my reaction if I got my dream dog, which is an extra teacup mini poodle.
I think he would, like, pass out if that happened.
Yeah. I honestly, the first time I saw a picture of an extra teacup mini poodle, I cried. And I still resist the urge to cry when I see pictures of them now. I think they are the cutest thing to ever exist on planet Earth. They're like $4,000, so I'm probably never getting one.
They're also so fragile, Candace. I know. Like, crazy fragile. Like, I feel like if you walk and you accidentally, like, you know, just, like, trip over them, they're broken.
They're dead. I know. Yeah. But part of it is, like, I can't believe anything that small, like, exists.
Can exist.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, like, it's so cute. I can't stop looking. Like, it's so cute. And, yeah, they're very fragile, and they get sick easy because they're not supposed to be bred that small, and they can literally die from broken bones from falling off the couch. Like, that distance is, like, yeah. And when they're babies, they literally eat every 4 hours. You have to feed them every 4 hours, like, with a bottle.
Like an actual baby.
Yeah. I'm like, I want one so bad, though. Like, if I ever retire and, like, happen to have a lot of money and a lot of time, I'm just going to get one.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm just going to get one. It's going to be my baby. After my kids have left me and, you know, it'll be just me and the little mini poodle. So Heidi's crying and Lauren and Jason are just laughing at her because they think it's really funny and because she was not expecting it. And Lauren asks Heidi what she's going to name her. And Heidi says, Bella. And little Bella is so cute.
Little Bella is cute.
She looks terrified, though.
Well, she was in that damn box for hours.
She's like, what's happening?
Yeah, I wonder how he, like, got her to the apartment, because if they were just at the Grove,
yeah,
where has this little dog been the whole time?
I know.
And, like, how long has he had it? Yeah.
I'm surprised that that apartment let them have a dog.
I am, too. I wonder if they told them or just kept it a secret.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a dog that tiny, unless it was, like, barking all day long,
yeah,
it would be pretty easy to hide.
And she is really tiny. Like, if I didn't get a mini poodle, I would be happy with a dog that size.
Let's appreciate Bella because she is not gonna last.
I know. The cute dogs never last.
How long does she last? Do you guys remember?
Just season one, because I don't think we see her anymore in season two.
And then
two.
She's gone. Yeah.
So then we are at Warren Trichome's salon with Lauren and Heidi, and it's New Year's Eve.
Before you continue, this salon has been filmed in so many reality TV shows. Do you guys recognize it? Because I think ANTM has gone there, like, so many times to do their makeovers and stuff like
makeover
that.
Episodes.
And then, like, at The Hills, they said that they had some sort of, like, contractor deal with the salon, so they could always go there to get their hair done for free as long as they film there. So we, like, see them here again many times. Yeah.
Huh.
That's cool.
That's interesting. Wow. If anybody worked there or has any stories from there.
Or have gone there,
can you guys, like, send in some tea? And we'll spill it for pop culture, maybe, if it's good stuff.
Oh my gosh, that would be so cool.
So, it's New Year's Eve, and Heidi is really excited and says, New Year's Eve at the lobby, I can't wait. And Lauren tells her that she's so glad that they're getting a limo. And then Lauren's phone rings, and Lauren picks it up and kind of slumps and sighs, and Heidi's like, is it Jason? And Lauren tilts her phone so Heidi can see, and Heidi reads out the text message that reads, I'm glad you liked him. I saw what he looks like. Ha ha, good taste. Okay. I love the moment of silence we all took for that. Lauren says she's not even going to respond to him, and he's so weird about that. Jason and Jordan are working out at a gym at the same time, so this is like a split scene. And we see Jason say, oh, dude, I got an unexpected call, or Lauren did. And Jason asks if Jordan remembers David. And Jordan says, what did he want? Really suspiciously. And Jason says, that's exactly what I'm saying, dude. And Jason explains that Lauren used to hang out with David when he and Lauren were broken up, and she still answers his phone calls, and especially in front of him. Jason says he felt like, what the hell are you doing? And Jordan asks if David knows that they are still together, and Jason says that he thinks so, and Jordan asks him what he's going to do. I think this situation is so ridiculous. If Lauren is telling the 100% truth about everything that happened with David, do I think she's keeping some information from Jason? Yes. This is why, though.
Yeah.
I think she probably liked David a lot more than she let on, and I think that she probably did date him a little bit, but of course she's not ever going to tell Jason that. And nor does he deserve to know, or is it's any of his business, because they weren't together.
Yeah, they were broken up.
And I mean, if she wants to answer some guy's phone call, like, be confident in the fact that she's your girlfriend, I guess, you know?
Exactly. Yes.
But, okay, I will play devil's advocate here. If you knew that your boyfriend had dated, like, some other girl before, and he still took her phone call in front of you, I'm sorry, but I would be pissed. I don't care if you guys have broken up. I don't care that you're not, like, seeing each other anymore. That's not your best friend. Like, stop talking to her. Mm-hmm. You don't need to talk to her.
I agree with that, too. I think it's just the way that Jason is handling it that yes. is what's ticking me off the most.
But I think Lauren can be friends with whoever she wants to be friends with. Taking his phone calls, okay, yeah, maybe. Maybe that's a little much.
See, friendship is one thing. I don't think you need to be, like, good friends to the point where you're still calling each other.
I don't think I don't think she needs to be calling him, but I don't think he needs to control who she talks to either.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But again, yes, out of respect for my boyfriend or my whoever, I would not talk to somebody that I had dated in the past like that as a friend.
Actively talk to.
Answer the phone in front of you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, that's weird. That's weird. And again, I do think... God, I can't even say anything bad about Lauren without feeling bad in my soul. But I'm like struggling. I do think Lauren was holding back a little bit on how she felt about David because, again, you're right. Like, why are you answering that call? It obviously means something to you, whether it's friendly or not. And she's probably holding back a little bit. But again, I get why she is, because Jason reacts like this.
Totally. I will say, though, like, Lauren answering that phone call in front of him, in a way, I can see that she's, like, trying to be honest and truthful as well. Like, she doesn't want to lie about it. And I know we're coming off very double standard here, right? We're like, you can be friends with whoever you want. But there is a line where you, like, have to respect your partner
and not continue that relationship.
Like, yes, you guys are still friends, but you're not calling each other to hang out. I think, like, that's the respect part.
There's an inappropriateness when you're together with somebody. I agree with that. I kind of want to know David's side of things.
Me too.
Who is this David?
Dude, wasn't there a David that she went to prom with? I was thinking that the whole time because she went with, like, a blonde guy, remember? Like,
I wonder if that's the David.
That's what I was wondering this whole time, but I couldn't remember if that was her date or Lowe's date.
If that's the David, then I don't feel like it's a big deal because they went to high school together and they actually were friends.
But they said that they hooked up in between her and Jason breaking up.
She said she dated him. Well, I mean, she never really says what happened.
But they dated in some capacity.
It seems like they, like, casually dated for a little bit, yeah.
Jason says they used to hang out.
Yeah.
So, whatever that means. So, back at the salon, Heidi tells Lauren that she can't believe that he sent her that message. And she asks, he's still upset that David called you? That is so lame. And Lauren says, that's just how Jason is, though. And Heidi says it's because he did things, so he's going to expect other people to do things. Which I guess means because Jason used to cheat, so he's expecting Lauren to cheat. Which, I don't peg Lauren as a cheater. But then you do have to remember she was kind of hooking up with some other girl's boyfriend in high school. And we all know how I feel about Lauren Conrad, okay? She can do no wrong. But if you're looking at it from Kristen's point of view, she's probably like, yep, that's Lauren. You know what I mean? Like, so it's interesting. I wonder, and obviously this is Lauren's show, so it's always going to paint her in the better light.
Yeah.
So Lauren says, now he's mad at me. And then she answers her phone that's ringing. So she picks up and says, hey, why are you mad at me? And we get a one-sided part of the conversation. And we just hear Lauren say, Bub, I haven't talked to him in, like, months. I'm really sorry, baby. She then tells Heidi that he's so angry. And Heidi's like, did he just hang up on you? And he did. He definitely hung up on her. Lauren's like, what did I do? And the hairdressers, who are like so into the drama, are like, what's going on?
I know.
What's going
that
on?
That was so funny.
And, they're like, well, who are we texting? And yeah. Lauren tells them that it's her boyfriend. And they're like, what's the fight about? And which is like so me, like I want to die. I'm like, what's going on? Drama tea, tell me. Heidi says that they're boys and that's what the fight is about. And Lauren starts explaining the situation and the hairdressers say that they hope it doesn't put a damper on the night.
Not after we just did your fabulous hair.
I know. Yeah. So Lauren then says that Jason gets mad about the dumbest things. And she says she's not going to apologize because she didn't do anything wrong.
Bam.
Yeah, such a shit show. The whole thing. Jason is very jealous. And I do think he's a little controlling. But again, we just went into an in-depth conversation about maybe Lauren's a little devious herself.
You know what's really interesting? On Laguna Beach, we never saw like this side of their relationship. It was just like good, mm-mm, good, good. And then mm-hmm. he cheated on her like at the fashion show. So yeah, I'm actually yeah. kind of surprised to see like Jason as the jealous boyfriend. That's not really something we've seen of him before on Laguna. It was always him cheating.
Yeah,
on the girls.
You're right. Right. Because I think he really likes Lauren. And he's never really liked a girl. I truly don't think he ever really knew what it was like to fall in love a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think once he fell for Lauren, he was just like, he didn't want her to break his heart.
I also think, though, that guys that cheat tend to be very controlling and accusatory of their girlfriends. So there's that, too.
And at this point in Lauren's life, she's, like, going places. She's, like, about mm-hmm. to be mm-hmm. big. And I think he knows that, and he's trying to keep her. You know what I mean? There's that kind of, I gotta keep her on the hook because, you know.
She's blowing up. Like, she's going yeah. everywhere. And I'm sure she's meeting tons of, like, celebrities oh, yeah. and just, like, everybody. So,
yeah.
That makes sense.
So, then we see Jordan and Jason getting ready to go out for the night. And Jordan's wearing a top hat. And I hate it. Then we see the girls looking so cute, getting ready to go out with their cute, flashy mm-hmm. New Year's Eve dresses. Yes. And they look so freaking cute. And Lauren tells Heidi that she's never really had a real New Year's Eve kiss. And Heidi tells her that she and Jason are so happy to be together. And it'll be good. Then we get to lobby. And Jason is now wearing Jordan's hat. And I still hate it. And he picks Lauren up, like just fully swoops her up and like drops her into the VIP section next to Heidi. And it looks like they're having a good time. So it looks like, you know, they're going to have a good night. Mm-hmm. And we see Jordan and Heidi dancing and kissing. And then we see Jason kissing Lauren. And it looks like everything's okay. Looks like everybody's happy. And then Jason leans in and says, are you going to have fun with me tonight? Or are you going to be all angry? And everything goes downhill from here. Lauren says that she's not angry and she just wants to have a good New Year's. And then Jason tells her, you know what I want to talk about? A friendly relationship, just being close friends.
So weird.
Yeah, what is he even saying?
Why? So Lauren's like, what the hell is that supposed to mean? And he tells her, you'll find out. It's literally control. He just wants her to panic all night long about mm-hmm, him breaking mm-hmm. up with her. That's mm-hmm. literally what it is. And it's like, I recognize it so easily now. As a younger person, I wouldn't have. But this mm-hmm. is literally just to control her night and make her feel bad. Yep. He's not going to break up with her. That's not what he wants.
No.
Oh, you don't think so?
No. I think he literally just wants her to have a bad night. He cannot stand that she's like, she's like, can we just have a good New Year's? No. He's mm-hmm. mad and he's going to make her have a miserable night because he's
mad.
That
is so annoying.
It is so annoying.
It's ridiculous.
So yeah. annoying.
God.
And you can't even really blame it on being wasted. He's literally just chaos.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, what? We want to talk about a friendly relationship. Like, who are you?
I know. What?
And Lauren gets me so hard here because the look she gives him is like, she's so hurt. Yeah. And she just stares at him and she just has this like hurt expression on her face. And it's so real. Like, this is where the hills gets you because some of this stuff is just so raw. Like, mm-hmm. she's not acting. Like, he's really being a jerk, and she cannot not respond.
Yeah, totally. And that's not him putting on the jerk act.
No.
Like, that's real, real.
No, that's him.
Yeah. Yeah. The look on her face just always, like, guts me. I'm just like, oh, I feel so bad for her. Because she really did just want to have a good New Year's. Like, totally. She really, mm-hmm. like, you can tell. So Jason says, I told you we'd have a good New Year's. I'm not saying anything after, but I'm saying we'll have a good New Year's. I'm not saying it's going to end up good, though. So Jason is like, I love you, and leans in to kiss her after saying all of this, which is insane. Mm-hmm. But of course she pulls away because I don't want to kiss you right now. If you're going to break up with me tomorrow. Jason's like, I didn't do anything. Or he says, I didn't do nothing because he's very drunk. And Lauren says, yeah, you did. You're doing it right now. Don't sit here and threaten to break up with me tomorrow and then say, let's have a good night tonight. And Jason looks at her confused and says, I never threatened to break up with you. His bipolar drunk ass. I swear to God. Yeah. Get out of my face. Get out of my face.
And Lauren like, being young again, mm-hmm. she clocks that so quickly and like stands up for herself, which is so good to see. Because like, you know, you could threaten to be like, you know, don't say that and then just like stay there and be unhappy. But she actually like takes herself out of the situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, why do you keep saying this could be an ender? I'm looking forward to having a friendly relationship with you. Why would you say that? And again, she's very much sticking up for herself. And yeah, like, so you know, good.
Yeah.
You know, she's not like, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like, please you're right. Don't.
Like I did. I did fuck up. Sorry.
Like, I'm sorry. She's immediately is like, why are you saying this shit? You're dumb.
Yeah.
Then Jason says, Whoopi. Whoopi, I never said that. Bub and Whoopi can't. And Lauren says, yes, you did, babe. And Jason claims that he said, let's just deal with it tomorrow, which obviously he didn't because we all heard him on camera. Lauren says, but then you're like, it's not going to end good. Like, what do you want me to do, babe? And Jason replies, honey, it's like we argued about it the first few nights. It's like you understand where I'm coming from, but it's like you do it again. And Lauren says, I didn't do anything. What did I do? I picked up a phone call. Should I have lied to you? Do you want me to lie to you about things? Because if I had just lied and made up something, we wouldn't be fighting right now. And Jason says, you liked the kid, you wanted to go out with him, but he still calls you. You think that's okay? And Lauren says, I don't know what you want me to say to you. And Jason tells her, how about you listen and not talk ever again?
Ooh.
How about that? I was like, I didn't remember him saying those exact words. And I was kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So really disrespectful. So then he continues and says, everyone agrees with me that you're wrong. You try to say, I'm sorry about that. And Lauren says, I apologized. What do you want? And Jason says, you apologize, but then you keep doing it. And Lauren asks again, what do you want? And then Jason asks her, what do you want? And she says, I want you to not be angry with me. And he says, you keep making mistakes over and over, Lauren. You do it all the time. And Lauren just yells, I don't care, and walks out of the nightclub. This
good
fight.
For her. Ugh. Team Lauren.
Seriously.
I know. The fact that he says you keep making mistakes over and over again makes me want to punch him so hard in his
face.
That
made me so mad.
So she's mad. Making I'm like, mistakes? I don't think she's making mistakes. And she, I get it. She's like, I apologize to you. I obviously will not pick up his phone calls anymore. Please leave me alone. Like, mm-hmm. I do not want to have this conversation with you anymore. I feel for her. And her night's completely mm-hmm. ruined, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Heidi follows her out of the nightclub and she's like, what happened? And Lauren says that she just can't do it anymore. And Heidi asks why Jason's yelling at her. And she says, because some guy called me. It's so stupid. How was that impression?
That was good. 9 out of 10.
Heidi flags down a cab for her and Lauren tells Heidi to stay at the club. But Heidi, like a grade A best friend, insists on going with her.
She is proving to be the bestest best friend ever.
Yeah.
Top tier.
Yes, top tier. This is, if you do not leave with me, you are not my bestie. Like, I would tell you to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Because I do want you to have a good time. But come with me in my time of need.
Mm-hmm. Wait, would you guys leave?
With my best friend? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not for like an acquaintance.
No. But like, but best friend.
Best friend, 100%. I'd leave in a heartbeat.
I'd probably pull my boyfriend though. Because I'm sure Heidi wants to spend time, like, New Year's with
totally.
Jordan, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think she probably was, like, texting Jordan, like, come over later. You know what I mean?
Like letting him know what was happening.
Yeah. I don't, because they were fine, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I don't, exactly, I don't think anything, I think he was probably like, nah, I gotta help Jason out. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
In the cab, Lauren apologizes to Heidi, and Heidi's like, it's okay, I chose to leave with you. And Lauren says, it's not your fault, you're a good friend. And she really is, and... it's just wonderful. It's wonderful to see. Yeah. Love to see it. So Lauren's phone rings and it's Jason. And he says, Lauren, babe, can I please talk to you? Where are you? And Lauren, looking forlornly out of the cab window with a mascara tear, says, Happy New Year's, Jason, and hangs up the phone. I love how he immediately calls her after being like a complete dick and is like, babe, can I talk to you? Like, no, we were just talking and it was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Back at lobby, we see Jason telling Jordan that he really messed up and he asks him how he fixes it. I don't know, maybe be less of a dick.
Yeah.
So Jordan tells him that he needs to go up to her and say, Lauren, I love you. I'm sorry. I understand what you're saying. We'll talk about it later, but it's okay. I promise you that would work. Jason calls Lauren again, but Heidi picks up her phone and Jason asks to speak to Lauren. And Heidi says, I don't think she wants to talk to you right now. And it's 11:36 p.m. and Jason is desperate to get to Lauren before midnight. So in the cab, Lauren is like, I never have a good New Year's. And Heidi's like, no one ever does. And Lauren's like, but you were having a good night. And Heidi says, it's okay. And Lauren says, it is not okay. It's not okay that Jason does this. And Heidi agrees with her and says that it's not okay that he ever treats you like this.
Heidi is just like the best. Again, not only does she leave with Lauren, she's like, no, I don't want you to feel bad about me having to leave. I want to make sure that we focus on you. Like,
right. And it's like, it's Jason's fault. It's not your
fault. Exactly. Yeah. God, I love Heidi.
So, and Lauren's like, we have 20 minutes to New Year's and I will celebrate it. And I'm like, you go, girl. So back in front of lobby, Jordan and Jason are trying to buy flowers. And Jordan says that they're going to get to the girls by midnight or he is going to be kissing somebody. The girls get back to the villas at 11:48 p.m. And Lauren tells Heidi she just might be her New Year's kiss. And Heidi says that she would be so lucky. As Jason and Jordan race to the villas, Jason says that Lauren is going to be so mad at him. And Jordan tells Jason to grab her, throw her on the bed and make love to her. Whatever you have to do. I'm like, I don't think she's going to be too receptive to that. So Jason calls Lauren again and asks her to come downstairs. And she's like, I'm already up to the apartment. I'm not coming downstairs. And he's like, please come down. And I really want to be with you on New Year's. And it's about time. Please come down. And she's like, just come up. He says, if you love me, you'll come down. And Lauren's like, if you love me, you'll come up to the apartment. And so Heidi's like, come on, Lauren, let's just go down. And so at 11:59, Jason sprints to Lauren. And at 12 a.m., he rushes her, kisses her, and says, I'm so sorry, I love you. While Jordan and Heidi are also kissing. And the episode ends over Heidi shouted Happy New Year. What a freaking roller coaster, you guys.
Isn't it crazy that MTV tried to sell this to us as like romantic?
I know.
Awful.
You know, like as long as he makes it to her by midnight, it makes up for everything.
And they kiss. Yeah.
He bought her roses. He got the limo. He rushed there. Get the visual, you guys. And we'll post it on our Instagram of Jason during New Year's, but him in a top hat, him drunk, him with like 5 cigarettes sticking out of his mouth. Yes. That is what MTV's trying to sell us of romance, okay? Oh my gosh.
It's awful.
It was wild. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they ever talk about this fight again, like on camera.
I don't think so.
I think it's just kind of like, well, he kissed her by midnight. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's like
And Lauren got the midnight kiss she always wanted because she never had one, you know?
Right.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
And he said, I'm so sorry, I love you. So it's okay. And if he took Jordan's advice, he threw her on the bed and made love to her.
Oh my gosh.
That's funny.
So, you know, I don't know where Jordan and Heidi went during that, but yeah, I mean, these two are so dramatic. They make great television, right? I mean, I do watch this every New Year's Eve because I think it's really funny.
I love that.
I think it's really funny. I watch this and there's a How I Met Your Mother New Year's Eve episode that I also watch. Sometimes I don't watch the whole episode, but I literally just watch like the nightclub scene to the end because it's so good. I mean, it's classic reality TV television, right? It's like the dramatic fight, the kiss at the end, the race to midnight. You know, it's like the stakes are high.
I also love that it's like low. Okay, it's not low drama, but like it's not like someone's like getting hurt or getting hit or like, you know, like whatever, like you see it now. So this is very real drama, which is even better.
What did you guys think of this episode and this fight? The high stakes.
It was a good episode. It was very entertaining, but it was very frustrating to watch, I felt like.
You did a wonderful job, can I say? Because we texted each other before the episode being like, oh my gosh, you have so much to recap. And Candace did a wonderful job recapping the conversation. But yeah, I love the episode. Love this kind of drama. It's all so real. Like no one's acting up or playing up, you know, their character, which is the best part. I loved it. I loved it.
I loved it too. I mean, I love this episode. It's just good. But again, I will tell you, typing up this fight was like, because I didn't want to miss anything, but at the same time, they're like drunk. So you're like trying to pick up and like the camera's cutting at weird parts. You don't hear everything. And it's like, you're trying to type it all out and it's rough sometimes, but I do it all for you guys. Did you guys have a favorite outfit this episode?
I really liked Lauren's New Year's Eve outfit. She was like in a black like halter dress, which I thought was really beautiful. And then the outfit where she was wearing the jeans mini skirt with like the distressed t-shirt.
Yes.
I thought was really cute.
My favorite was Heidi's New Year's Eve dress.
Cute.
I love it. It was like silver, sparkly. It was very New Year's Eve, so like super flashy. Yeah. I loved it.
I also loved Heidi's New Year's Eve dress, and it took me back to like when you go shopping for that New Year's Eve dress, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you need something sparkly and something like hot and pretty and cute. And she looked at her hair all cute. Yeah. I like that too.
Yeah.
But I also loved Lauren's t-shirt, mini skirt and flip flops with her crossbody bag. I just thought she looked so casual and cute and her hair was like super straight and silky and I loved it. Moment.
I think that like, it's fascinating watching Jason go from getting mad at Lauren to like flipping it so quickly. That switch is so interesting to watch. So like without it being like, that's my favorite moment. I mean,
yeah,
I thought that was super interesting TV.
Yeah.
Mine was just Heidi being the best friend in the world and leaving the party, being so supportive. I even wrote down, there was a moment when she was like comforting Lauren of like, no, like I wanted to leave with you, where she says like, I didn't even like my hair anyways.
Oh, I know. That was cute.
It's so good.
I didn't even like my hair anyways. I thought her hair was actually really cute, which is funny.
It was,
Yeah, I liked the fight, not because of the fight, but because it was just such a great television, like the way that it was edited, like they're in the club, like it's just like, you can't write that. And it just happened organically. And I'm sure the Hills producers were like shaking because they were so excited. You know what I mean? Like, it's just good television. So I enjoy, not because the fight, because that's sad. And Jason's a douchebag. But, you know, I love the rest of it.
You know, I know when Spencer comes along, it's like a whole different ballgame, but I'm so curious to see how Lauren treats Heidi, like during these moments when like Heidi's needing like comfort, because Heidi really is amazing.
I know. And I think of all the times that Heidi says, when Jason was treating her like shit, I was there for her. And like, I was always like, I was always like, you're dramatic. But like now I'm like, she really was though.
She was right. Yeah.
I don't know. I do think that Lauren could have given her some leeway. I get not liking your best friend's boyfriend, and I get that at some point there had to be a separation. But, like, I do think they could have managed to, like, not hate each other.
Yeah.
But, again, we'll see the progression of this as the show goes on, and we'll make our decisions then. But until next time, folks, this has been an MTV podcast production. We are your hosts, Candace, Liz, and Adrian, and we'll see you next week.
Millennial TV.
Thank you so much for tuning in to season 4 of Millennial TV and feeling the rain on your skin as we recap The Hills. If you're loving what you're hearing, make sure you drop a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Don't forget to hit subscribe on YouTube and to follow us on Instagram for weekly extras. Thank you so much for listening. We are Candace, Liz, and Adrian, your Millennial TV hosts, and we will see you next week.